Welcome to the Blues Trail Revisited podcast. It's episode 7, and I'm Ted Reed. This podcast is sponsored by the Clarksdale Tourism Commission, also widely known as Visit Clarksdale. This podcast is an offshoot of a film I finished this year about my return to the Mississippi Delta to rediscover the places I first encountered 50 years ago. To see the film, just go to www.bluestrailrevisited.com. This episode takes us on a ride into the Delta, and we're starting off with a musician with solid family roots here. Steve Azar has been writing and performing since he was a young boy, and has traveled extensively as a musician. He's also a music producer, philanthropist, golfer, and filmmaker, as well as being the official music and culture ambassador of the state of Mississippi. And he wrote and performed the theme music for this podcast. Talking with Steve Azar today on the Blues Trail Revisited podcast, and a man who needs no introduction, but I'm going to let him tell you some of the many things and accolades that he has been able to accumulate in his career. Pretty amazing stuff. Steve, welcome to the podcast.
Ted, it's an honor. How you doing, buddy?
Very good. I wanted to find out, how did you become sort of official blues ambassador for the state of Mississippi?
You know, my title is the Music and Culture Ambassador. I'm in my fourth year now. When I first moved back home, we lived in Nashville for 20 years. I was born and raised in the Mississippi Delta. My mom grew up on Highway 61 in Clarksdale. My cousin's Abe's Barbecue is on the 61-49 split. My uncle was mayor until he passed away at a very young age of 33. So we're deep generations back Clarksdale, and my dad's from Greenville, so 75 miles south of Clarksdale. So that we are many generations Lebanese Catholic. And so when we moved to Nashville, which I was there 20 years, and I was able to have some hits and some success, and I toured Bob Seger on the Face of Promise tour that whole year. Yeah. And decided when I got off the road, I wanted to get to know my kids better because I was on a tour bus for 15 years. And they were growing up. They were 15, 13, and 10. So we moved them back to the Mississippi Delta, back for me.
Right.
Seeing the Delta full circle after living a lot of life and having the success, it just looked so different in a good way. And we started to have a music festival. I co-founded the Mighty Mississippi. So we had Chris Stapleton 2 weeks before he blew up. Maren Morris, the Revivalist, Shovels and Rope. You know, we had Dr. John. We had all these acts that came in, Government Mule, Warren Haynes. And we would celebrate on the river in a venue that wasn't a venue. And I never realized there were two things going on. That and my foundation's charity event, which is the Steve Azar St. Cecilia Foundation. We donated a little over $1 million to this point. So I never realized, this is how smart I'm not, when I'd show up and play in Albany, New York, or play at the Boston Garden or wherever we played, I never realized that all those people were coming in from different places. They were filling up hotels. It was a whole tourism mechanism. It was an economic impact that was vast. I thought they just vanished in and poofed in and vanished out.
Right.
And I never thought about what was happening with the economy, the creative economy, while we were there.
Right.
And so I started doing it here, filling up hotels for our foundation event for 3 or 4 days. People coming in from 25 states, also the music festival, 25 countries. Mm. And then the governor pulls me in. He goes, Steve, you're making this multi-million dollar impact a year between these two events. And I said, oh wow, you know. So he goes, I want you to be my music and culture ambassador, because I feel like if we give you an official role, then the impact could be much greater, and you can also help people that don't understand your business. So I've been doing that, and then I got asked to write the official bicentennial song, which we did, called One Mississippi, and that's done real well. So a lot of this is lit, but Ted, when I moved home, it was so inspiring just to write songs about where I was from, and I was all in Delta now. Right. When I was leaving Mississippi, I was trying to have hits, so half my records would represent having, being commercial as I could be, but the other half would always take you home where I grew up, because I wanted people to understand who I was as a person, first of all, and that, you know, trans, you know, that obviously, that was who I was as an artist. So it took me a long time to understand honesty, but when I came back home, the records I've made since then have totally been nothing but pure honesty, and they've served me well.
Well, they've been great, I gotta say. I mean, the thing that introduced me to you was your song Flatlands, and especially the Delta Mix that we use as the opening sequence in the Blues Trail Revisited movie. And I thought that captured perfectly the area that we were traveling through, the way we were traveling, the vision, you know, the events, all that stuff. I thought was incredibly from the heart, which was, you know, just so real. What were the origins of that tune? Do you remember?
Crazy, yeah. I mean, I was, there was a time when Ahmet Erdogan's company, Atlantic Records, was looking at me pretty heavy. They'd bring me in, and nobody could figure me out. I couldn't figure me out. I was probably 19 or 20, and I was about to finish college at Delta State, say 21 years old, and I started writing on this song, Flatlands, and when Stevie Ray died in 90 or 91, it's been so long, I can't remember, I think 91, I did the tribute for him at the Delta Blues Festival here in Greenville. Albert King was to my left sitting there. I had Son Thomas on stage performing. So they wanted me to do Pride and Joy as a tribute, but they said, we want you to do this song Flatlands that we've been hearing, because I've been playing it around a little bit.
Right.
But it was one of those things where it was this. It was sort of in the making for a lot of years. And when I moved to Nashville, right after that, and when I got my first publishing deal, Roger Murr and I got in the room, and we wrote a chorus to it, and we tweaked some things in the verses. And Roger Murr was BMI songwriter of the decade. I mean, he made more money than anybody writing in 10 years than anybody in the world. He's just a brilliant writer. And so, but what ended up happening was, when the band started playing, I noticed people started to sort of get uninterested, and so did I. So did the band when we had the chorus. So I threw the chorus away.
Right.
And then we just said, it just needs to be a jam. And then eventually we just set up live in the studio like we were doing it. And literally one take. That was a one take, set up live, no edits. And we said, can't touch it. We had gotten so good at playing it live, or either not good, but just having so much fun,
right,
that it became a thing. And then, man, it was just a great journey of a song. And it was so funny when we toured with Bob Seger those 46 nights, the band would come out and they would sit there at the end. That was the end of our set. And they would come out and watch it every night because I said, what are y'all doing? And they said, this is getting us up for our show, this song.
Yeah.
So
okay.
It was so cool. You know, it was so cool. So I said,
That's
we're getting
great.
Up ourselves. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was the origin. It's had a lot of time, but it's on a record now called My Mississippi Reunion, which is my latest record, a collection of my past, all those years from before Nashville, 20 years in Nashville, and now home, four new records, Rosedale, Midnight, Coldwater, with Cedric Burnside actually doing the record with me, and One Mississippi are all on one album. And so it's sort of a tribute to 100% my roots.
Excellent. No, I would recommend it highly to all of our listeners. The performance is so high voltage, and I gotta tell you, the recording and the mix are just fantastic. You know, you listen to that through a good sound system and it just blows you away, you know, because I think the energy and the quality of the recording combined, it's one of those things that are just like outstanding.
I saw an old blues man on 61, that's the highway where I'm from. playing slide guitar with a loaded gun. He's got Delta mud running through his veins, and when he sings songs you can feel the pain. Lord, he may have a broken heart, but he's got magic hands. Where else but in the down-home, ever-loving, heartbreaking, no mistaking, mighty old muddy Mississippi flatlands.
I think it's more of a tribute to the guys in my band. What happened was, after all these years of searching for the perfect bandmate, that was the collision. And so I wanted to celebrate in the band their talents. And I think that, so it's such a wee thing. You know what I mean? That yeah. it needed to be that. Without these guys, right. without those guys, and you know, then it would have never been that. So I give credit to the guys that I ended up falling madly in love with on the road. They were like they're brothers to me.
Right.
And when you get that close in a band and you understand each other, and they appreciated my songs and they loved to play the songs I wrote. That was the reason, so I give credit to them.
Okay. Well, you know, as great as it's been to be able to, you know, catch up with folks at home and stay home and stuff like that, are you thinking of touring now that things are sort of opening up?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, good.
I played a show private. I love playing a lot of private songwriter-style intimate shows where there's like 100, 200 people. It's more of a pricey ticket.
Right.
You have a great chef. A great chef cooks a great meal, and I come and I play about a 90-minute show of just storytelling. I played actually Friday and Saturday. I played a festival the other day. So we're back at it. You know, I play 45 to 50 shows a year. Wow. I play at the Mohegan Sun annually. Every year I get to go play there. We're having to move our dates still because of COVID.
Right.
But we're rescheduling. I think I'll be there in November or either early spring, whichever works out. But my year has gotten, people are playing catch up.
Yeah,
and
right.
And then you have your regular year, so it's been very difficult saying no, because a year without playing live was awful, you know.
Yep.
And far as just, it's more, it wasn't the money, it was just missing it.
That's right. And I think that works both ways, both for musicians and for their fans who are just like starved.
Sure.
You know, and that's the thing I'm seeing happening in Clarksdale. Now that things are opening up again, people are coming in droves just to catch a taste of live music. And of course, you could do worse than go to Clarksdale. Absolutely.
Yeah, no, and listen, that's a second home for me. Also, you know, I've got a partner who we're starting. We've moved the Mighty Mississippi Music Festival, rebranded it, called the Mighty Roots Music Festival. It will be in Clarksdale on Stovall Farms where Muddy Waters lived.
Yes.
And his house has been redone and preserved. And so we're going to do that October 1 and 2. We're going to always be a week before the King Biscuit.
Yeah.
And the thought process is, you get people in for 2 weeks from all over the world, and they stay, and they really absorb our Delta. They absorb Memphis. They absorb West Helena. They go all the way to New Orleans through Mississippi,
right.
Civil Rights Museum. So that we start October 1 and 2. We got held back a year, but this is going to be a fantastic festival. So it's up and for sale, and so I'll be back in Clarksdale then, sure.
Absolutely. Okay, great. You have a podcast, too. Which I can personally attest to, having appeared on it. How do people find that?
Well, it's everywhere you podcast. So any Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes. You were on last week. You should be loading up. But it's, first of all, it airs in every market in Mississippi. It's called In a Mississippi Minute with Steve Azar. Mississippi Minute also has a Delta mix. It's a song. I always love to find a home for my songs, and I appreciate you finding a home for Flatlands. Delta Mix, it means the world. When I'm honored to have that song in your film. The more I started to understand you and started looking at your path and understand your passion, so I became a big fan extremely fast. And I've had big soundtracks and motion pictures, Sony Pictures, feature tracks. But I got to tell you, being a part of your project is the coolest thing ever. Those are the things that inspire me and keep me doing what I do, and that's what I appreciate the most, because you're just putting the icing on the cake. It's on the cake that was born in the, I mean, you know what I mean? It's the song that fits the project. I love you where you're from and your history, but how this area of the world matters to you like it does me, and how you celebrate it. So, I mean, that's icing on the cake, and three flavors or four flavors. It's 32 flavors of ice cream.
Seriously.
It's so good. But yeah, but you can get it everywhere, and your version, your podcast will be up and running before June 1st, or well, probably a week before that. So it'll be everywhere you can get it. We've had people from John Daly, Jim McMahon, Bill Engvall, the president, the CEO of UPS. You name it. Norbert Putnam, who produced Margaritaville, Elvis's guys. I've had the greatest cast of characters. Linda Cohn from ESPN, Leslie Visser. It's fun interviewing the people that interview people too.
Yes.
So it's been they always switch it and they'll start throwing questions at me, so they'll trick me a little bit.
Yeah, right.
But
well,
it is.
It's a habit.
You know what, Ted? The greatest thing about a podcast is, and it's what I'm not doing now, but when I do my podcast, I do that. I love the art of listening. Mm. And I know I'm bad at it right now because you're interviewing me, but
you're supposed to be talking.
That is a beautiful thing. Hearing people's stories, how they got there,
right,
what it took. And it's beautiful, and people are interested in that over.
Everybody's got a story, but you've got an amazing one.
In New York City, the streets are crowded, clock is ticking, no doubt about it, it's frantic. Bumper to bumper, horns are blowing, cab is yelling, sirens are gone, it's panic. But in a Mississippi minute, you can take your sweet time. In a Mississippi minute, you're never running behind. Just like that muddy river, moving slow. Ain't no hurry, that's how life goes. In a Mississippi minute.
Yeah, I'm going to have to wrap this up pretty soon, but I just wanted to, one more question I wanted to ask you. When did you get started in music? When did you first feel, this is something I want to do?
I have an album called Down at the Liquor Store, and the album is Steve Azar and the King's Men. When I moved back home, it all came together as a song called Down at the Liquor Store. And I wrote that when I was 10 and a half years old. I walked behind my dad's liquor store. His liquor store, the Jigger and Jug, was the first legal liquor store in Mississippi. Now, he went to Notre Dame. He's from Greenville. He went to Notre Dame, graduated, went to the Air Force, Keesler, came home and opened this store. And it's in the Civil Rights Museum. I mean, it's got a landmark by it. I mean, it's insane. But Eugene Powell, who was Sonny Boy Nelson, was back there playing, and there were postmen. And I walked back there, and I swear, I raced home, and I started writing. I learned to play guitar as fast as I could to put the words to the music, and I got hooked. And he became a huge mentor of mine. And I got to revisit after a little bit of success, sort of a false start before my first hit and before he passed away.
Nice.
When you walk in my house, you see a big picture of, the first thing you see is Eugene Powell welcoming you into my home, because he changed my world. And if it wasn't for that moment, there was no way. But I've never desired anything else in my life. I've been doing it for 47 years now. I think I've fooled everybody. So it's good.
Well, you make it sound like you got struck by a bolt of lightning, and it was one of these irrevocable moments, you know. So you followed that path.
The moment has lasted a long time. Hey, you know what? So I made that record in Club Ebony in Indianola. Mm-hmm. There's a movie, a documentary out. There's a documentary called Something in the Water. It's on Quello Stingray, and it's also on Go USA Net, and then my YouTube channel. But Something in the Water documents the chronicles of four B.B. King's guys, one of Little Milton's, one of Elvis's, and the rest of my guys. There were nine of us that got in, turned Club Ebony in Indianola, Mississippi, into a recording studio. And it's a feature documentary that's done really well, so people can go check it out and watch us getting to know each other and making an entire record that I wrote when I came home.
Wow. Steve, I want to get you back on. I want to get you back on the podcast sometime, because I feel we have just scratched the surface of the stories you can tell. But for now, I'm going to leave folks with this taste of who Steve Azar is and some of the things to find out. And when you're in Clarksdale, go to Abe's Barbecue. There's a Steve Azar shrine in the place, and
that's awful.
But it's only one of the things you should visit Abe's for. So
hopefully we will be able to hook up, man.
I mean, I'm sorry, I'm going to miss you on my trip down to Mississippi this time, but we will make a point of connecting.
Yeah, I'm on the road this week, and I hate that we're going to miss, and we will. And listen, you need to give that girl, your girl Jamie, a raise. She's the best.
Isn't she? She is absolutely. You hear that, Jamie? You are the best. All right. Steve, thank you very much. Appreciate you coming on the podcast. This is a great moment.
Thanks,
thank you.
I appreciate you.
Okay, great.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Fertile fields of flatlands and hills raised by anything, whatever a farmer can dream. Slug burger, shrimp ball, catfish fried up in oil. Oh, good gosh almighty, just a husk of hot tamale now. Now that's Mississippi.
Came home yesterday from work, a little tired, disgusted. Oh, I had a few problems in my life. I came home from work, ran straight to my wife. I told her, I said, baby, I'm gonna leave you. Well, I said that many times before, but I never reached your front door. Most of the time when I said that, she would grab me and ask me, Bobby, please don't leave me. This time, she was in the kitchen cooking. She acted like I was the last thing on her mind. I packed my little thing and headed to the door. When I reached the door, she stopped me and said, Bobby, so listen, I got something I want to tell you. Sit your bag down a minute. She said, I don't want you to leave me, but I can't make you stay. She said, the mind made up to leave me. You're going to leave me anyway. She said, here's one thing I want you to know before you walk out the door. Don't stop no show. She's a one monkey. Don't stop no show. She said.
We've got a new segment on the Blues Trail Revisited podcast. It's the Blues Trail Music Report. And to tell us all about who's coming to Clarksdale is Tamil Edwards, booking manager at the world-famous Ground Zero Blues Club on Delta Avenue in Clarksdale, Mississippi. How you doing today, Tamil?
Good morning, Ted. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing fine. It's Wednesday, May 26th. Want to tell us what's happening tonight for music in Clarksdale?
So tonight, Sean Bad Apple at his club, he is performing at his club, looks like. And then at 7 p.m., we have Lucius Spiller at Red. And at 8 p.m., we have Lala Craig tonight at Ground Zero. She's kicking off our 20th anniversary week.
Sounds like a lot going on for a Wednesday night. How about Thursday?
Yeah, and then so tomorrow, there's a couple of virtual things and public things going on. We're still getting back into live music 365, so I'm really excited about it. So virtually at 2:30, Lucius Spiller, he streams from home. He's going to do an at-home session from 3 to 6. Miss Honeybee, which I love. Now, she's going to be at Bad Apple Club. And if anybody's ever heard of Miss Honeybee, Miss Honeybee plays that good old-fashioned mud in your toes blues. Very soulful. One of my absolute favorites right now. At 7 p.m. public and virtually is Sand Street Jam Night with Lala Craig tonight at the Hambone Gallery. And then tomorrow, virtually and public, we have at Ground Square, we have Stone Gas Band. One of our favorites. They've been around since the 80s. Just good old-fashioned blues and soul, y'all.
Now, this is a real big weekend, and I guess the main event is Ground Zero's 20th birthday celebration.
It starts on Friday. It's live music, 12 hours of music, all day Friday and all day Saturday. We have some of our favorite locals from Lightning Malcolm to Lala Craig to Keith Johnson to Lucius Spiller, Big A and the All-Stars. It's the headliner for Friday night with a special appearance by Kingfish. And also that Saturday, we have live music all day as well. And we have Rashad the Blues Kid, TJ Hooker, Taylor, Sweet Randy Love with a special appearance by Bobby Rush for the headliners. So it's going to be a good time.
Sounds like a full day and night.
A full day, honey. It's 12 hours and we're going to party. We're doing giveaways all day long. It's just going to be a good time. You know, when COVID hit, it took 19. I was already booked for we was going to have a one-day festival. And so I literally have been working on this festival for about six or seven months, trying to figure out what are we going to do. And I said, you know what, we're going to have a two-day festival. 20 years is major.
What's up on Saturday?
So on Saturday, let's see, at 11, we have the Goat Fest at Hobson's Commissary, which I know is going to be good. And it looks like they have some really good acts as well. They have Jesse Cotton, looks like he's starting it. Cedric Burnside, a legend. R.L. Boyce, Lightning Malcolm, one of our favorites. The Eric Trio, Jimbo Mathis is going to be in the house. So, yeah, it's going to be a good time.
If our listeners haven't been to Hobson Commissary, you really have to go there. It's hard to describe what it looks like.
You know what, Ted? It's one of those places where, like, you have to go at least one time to experience it. A lot of people like to compare it to Ground Zero. No, it's totally different. I think aesthetically, they compare us a lot. But Hobson is a favorite local hangout as well as a visitor hangout. They have some of the coolest things in there. The property itself is huge. It's massive. But it's like all these nooks and crannies and all these cool little chill spots. They got a really nice outside area. Every year for King Biscuit, we always do the Pine Top Perkins celebration out there outside on the patio. And it's always the time.
I think the similarity people see is they share that Clarksdale funk. You know, everything's made out of old barn wood. Old metal signs are all over.
Yeah.
But it's great to be outside listening to great music.
Yeah, it is. It is. Also, I see the Shacks have something going on with Deke Hart. It's a mini Hart Shack with Deke Hart, 19th Street Red, and Black Lung Lucy. So I know that's going to be a good time for all the harmonica lovers. At 7 p.m., we got Frank Guitar Rimmer. He's going to be at Red. And then from 7 to 10 public, we have Watermelon Slim at Bad Apple, at Sean Apple Club, Bad Apple. So it's a lot of good music going on Saturday.
So what's going on at Ground Zero Club itself on Saturday?
Yes, that will actually be the second part of our 20th anniversary. Again, we have live music at 12 and it ends at midnight. Yeah, so we have a lot of good music, a lot of good music. Of course, you know, Lucius Spiller, Mark Newman, Massey, TCB Taylor will be there. I mentioned our headliners earlier, and we got a special appearance by Bobby Rush, Grammy Award winner. So for those of you who don't know, Bobby Rush did a really, really good show at Ground Zero. Oh, man, I know it was about 19 years ago, and he actually recorded a DVD there as well. And that's when Ground Zero was first getting off our feet. And so we are so honored to have him back in the house, y'all. Let me tell you, I for one, am excited because I've been working on getting him at Ground Zero for like 2, maybe 3 years.
Bobby Rush is such a blues icon. He's been around for quite a while, but he hasn't slowed down. He's still touring, and, you know, he's even up for a Blues Music Award next month.
Oh, wow. Well, you know what, Ted? In my opinion, it's a long time coming. A lot of times when blues is up for an award, any blues artist, it's always off air when they receive their award. It's never broadcasted live. So when Bobby Rush and Kingfish was up for a Grammy and Bobby Rush won a Grammy, like, we literally teared up at Ground Zero because we was like, it's about time, you know. So, yeah, we were so excited because that was a major thing for the blues community, major. Because, like I said, a lot of times our awards are not shown on TV in the public. It's always like a little signage at the bottom of the screen, you know? And so when they won and when they were up for Grammys and got this recognition and these are these little Delta boys, you know, we were proud. I felt like I won the award.
Sounds like a terrific party. I imagine the tickets are just about all sold out. Am I right?
Yes. Yes, we are selling. The reality is, Ted, it's so much going on in town to where people are going to be in and out all day. So a lot of people are worried, like, T, am I going to get tickets? Da-da-da. Are y'all going to sell out? No, we're not going to sell out at all. No, no.
Okay, for folks who are actually coming to Clarksdale this weekend, where can they get tickets?
Well, right now the pre-sale tickets have ended. We ended those on Monday, so every ticket will be available at the door. They're $25 per day. The doors open at 11 o'clock. First band goes on at noon.
Are you going to be doing any video streaming, or is this going to be live in person only?
Well, yes. Actually, live in Clarksdale, they are going to stream the headliners. They're going to stream a clip of Kingfish performance and also Bobby Rush as well. So they'll definitely be in the house. And you might see a couple interviews and, you know, maybe talk to staff. And it's just going to be, we haven't really come up with the format yet, but if there's a little wait time, because that on Saturday we actually have four bands we have to set up. So I think in between time we might be just interviewing people, our guests, and, you know, just doing different little things.
So if folks can't make it into town this weekend, they should check out the Live from Clarksdale's Facebook page so they can watch those live streams, right? As well as look at all the other shows from the last year. There's some great music in there.
Yes. Also, there is live music Sunday and Monday as well.
Right.
Yeah, because I know a lot of people, they do travel Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and a lot of times when they see Ground Zero is closed, they just assume there's no music going. But I did want to mention that on Sunday, the Blues Bear Cafe, they always have live music and they have breakfast as well. And then it looks like Mississippi Marsh will be virtual. The Clarksdale Stuck in the House Party with Gary Vincent will be virtual at 1. At 7 p.m., Mark Newman and Master will be at Red. And let's see. Oh, at 10 a.m. at the Bluesberry, though, they have Zachariah Lloyd, which I actually booked him as well throughout the year. So he's really, really good from Oxford. And on Monday, Bluesberry Cafe will be open. Their live music starts at 7, and on Tuesday, Stone Gas Band will be at Hambone.
Well, congratulations on 20 years at Ground Zero.
Oh,
I think you're in for a great celebration.
That's right. That's right. We're trying hard, and I just want to thank each and last everybody, from people who come to Ground Zero, to people who shared any of our content, to people who watched my live, to people who even emailed me asking me questions because they showed me that they had interest in what we're doing. Just thank you so much. Without y'all, it wouldn't be us.
Tamil, so happy to have you as a regular on the podcast, and we'll be looking forward to hearing from you on your next Blues Trail Music Report.
Yes, sir. Bye-bye.
And that wraps up this episode. I'd like to thank everyone for listening to the Blues Trail Revisited podcast in partnership with Visit Clarksdale. You can watch the film that inspired this podcast by going to www.bluestrailrevisited.com. And you can find out a lot more about Clarksdale, Mississippi by going to visitclarksdale.com or download the app and check out all the cool interactive features. In our next episode, we'll be talking with Sean Bad Apple about his eponymous club on Issaquena Avenue, and with the owners of the newly renovated Delta Blues Alley Club and their preparations for the Juneteenth celebrations in Clarksdale. I'd like to shout out a special hello to the folks at Live from Clarksdale. You can catch some of Clarksdale's outstanding musical talent and some high-profile visitors. I'm Ted Reed, and to all you blues music fans out there, keep on bluesing. The Blues Trail Revisited podcast is produced by Ted Reed Productions. The field audio producer is Nolan Dean. And our project manager is Jamie Nice. Thanks for listening.